Have you ever wondered how the Friday of Jesus' death, a Friday characterized by the biggest miscarriage of justice ever propagated against a human, a Friday characterized by his being mocked, spit on, stripped, beaten beyond recognition, and then brutally hung on a cross like nothing more than a piece of meat? How did a Friday like that come to be called Good Friday? For Jesus, it was overwhelmingly a bad Friday. So why did we call it good? Well, whether something is good or bad largely depends upon from whose perspective you're looking at a particular event. I wasn't going to say that just because the Packers gifted the Bears a couple of wins this year, something like that, you know. Some of you are Bear fans. You're going to say that was good. I'm a Packer fan. That was bad. And I'm going to date myself, and I'm going to date some of you. How many of you remember the old comedy Hee-Haw? Back in the, see that? Young people look around with the hands going up. You have no idea what you missed. But our family watched Hee-Haw every week. And old Archie Campbell, remember him? He did a rendition of what's called That's Good, No, That's Bad. And so his friend is sitting in the barber chair and he says, I got a call that my uncle passed away the other day. His friend says, oh, Arch, that's bad. No, 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 that's good. Well, that's good? Yeah, he left me $500,000 in his will. Oh, well, that is good. No, that's bad. Well, what do you mean that's bad? Well, by the time the government hit me with inheritance taxes and such, I only had $250,000 left. Oh, that's bad. No, that's good, because I actually had enough to go out and buy a small airplane that I'd always wanted to buy. Oh, that's good. No, that's bad, because I was doing a stunt and I fell out. You know, and on and on and on it goes. I won't tell you how it ends. So likewise, we come to what is called the Passion of the Christ, the injustice, the mocking, the beating, the crucifixion, and we say, wow, it's really bad. And yet, the response comes back from heaven itself. No, that was really good. See, what was bad for Jesus was really good for us. And so tonight, I just want to focus again on what was so good about Good Friday. And just to make it as simple as I can, I want to put it in a little acrostic. Does that surprise you? That may help you remember the word good when you leave here tonight. Maybe some of you have never realized just how good it was for you. And I'm hoping that tonight you might embrace by faith what Jesus did for you so that you can experience it in your own life. What made that bad Friday so good? Well, because of that Friday, we can each now say, if we know him, here's the G, gone is my sin. David said in Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Any of you want to volunteer that you'd be good enough to stand before Holy God tonight if he kept a record of your sin? And the inference is that no one of us could stand, but praise God, verse 4 assures us, but with you there is forgiveness. And again, who of us wouldn't have to blush where every sinful thought we'd ever entertained, every sinful word we'd ever uttered, every sinful act we'd ever committed, posted on the screen tonight, and just exposed for all to see? Who of us would just love it if we had to stand before God and have him say, hey, let's just go down the list. Oh, sure, some of us would have some things in our list that are worse than what others have done, but there's not a one of us who wouldn't have a screen full of sins for which we would need God's forgiveness. So how are those things to be forgiven? Check in with any other religion, and people are trying to do penance, trying to earn brownie points with God some way. And were you to ask them, how can you know for sure that God has forgiven your sin? And I've asked many religious people that. And the answer always comes back, well, you can't know for sure. You just try to do your best and hope your good deeds outweigh your bad. But you can't really know for sure. Can I tell you, this is what makes Good Friday so good? The Bible guarantees to the one who puts his or her faith in Jesus that our sins are forgiven, they are gone, they are washed clean, they are buried in the deepest sea. Colossians 2:13 says he forgave us all our sins. Every child of God can have complete confidence that, as 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And because of this, we can have complete assurance in our hearts that our sins have been washed away. As 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, you were washed. And because you were washed, guess what? You have every right to say, gone is my sin. And because that's true, there's something else really good about Good Friday, and that's the first O. Over is my past. I love the little saying, yesterday ended last night. Just a way of reminding us that we don't have to carry into today the things that happened yesterday. Now, I know that at times that's easier said than done, but the point is that if my sins are gone, they've been washed away, then I no longer have to live under the weight of my past guilt and shame. That's not what defines me anymore. The Bible reminds us in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, but as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. Used to. That's the past. But because of his great love for us, God in his great mercy, see, made us alive in Christ. That's the present. I remember years ago reading about a dear woman who had walked with Christ for many years, but lived under the condemnation of a sin she had committed many years before. Just could never get over it. Her pastor knew there was something troubling her, and as he was praying for her one day and for revelation into what the problem was, the Lord gave him the answer. And so he went to this lady and said, the Lord showed me that you are terribly burdened by a sin you committed many years ago. She began to cry. And she said ashamedly, and did he tell you what it was? The pastor responded, no. When I asked him what it was, he said, tell her I've forgotten. Now, guys, that doesn't mean that our omniscient, all-knowing God can't remember something we did. What it means is that he chooses not to take it into account anymore and will never use it against us. He treats us as if that thing never happened. He's not ever going to mention it to us again. So guess what? When that gets drugged back up in your face, I wonder where that might be coming from. It's not coming from him. And some of you here tonight need to hear Jesus say about your past, I've forgotten that. See, what he has forgiven is over with and will never be used against you. He'll never bring it up again. And I know we live in a world where other people may have been hurt by what we did, and so they may not forget. And obviously, where you're able to, you should do whatever you can to make restitution with someone else. But that's not always easily done either. Right? I know of cases where someone was driving under the influence, caused an accident that killed someone. And see, you can't ever make that right. At least here in an earthly sense. And in some instances where the damage was severe to others, there may be some ongoing reminders or consequences from some of your past actions that will always be with you. The adultery that broke up a family, the abortion, et cetera, et cetera. I could go into prisons all around the country tonight, and there are people who are paying in an earthly sense, and there are ongoing consequences for what they did. But the good news to us is still the good news for anyone in that prison tonight. And that is, if you have truly repented and sought Christ for his forgiveness, what may have lasting consequences with people in this life is totally over from God's standpoint. And where your sin is gone, there is no need to live under the weight of shame and condemnation anymore. Oh yeah, I know, don't try to justify it to others. Sometimes our only recourse for what we've done is just to be silent and let God be our defense. But when the enemy tries to bring it up and make you feel rotten about your past, you just get the word of God on your lips and tell him to go. Because you know, gone is my sin and over is my past. So enemy, go. Now that makes the good news really good, and that makes a bad Friday really good, but it's even gooder than that. What makes Good Friday so good is because of this next O. And that is this: on me is his righteousness. Not just the fact that he washed me, buried my past in the sea, but he gave me something that I could never earn or be good enough for. On me is his righteousness. I've shared this napkin illustration many times with people, and I share it tonight because maybe some of you, as you have opportunity to talk with people, will pick up something like this and use it. But I was on a plane trip one day several years ago where I struck up a conversation with my seatmate. I often sit down and say, "Now, Lord, if there's anything you want to do with the person next to me, just let me know. Otherwise, I won't bother them. They won't bother me. I'll read," or whatever. But many times I've gotten into conversations with people, and that happened this day, and it led to discussion about faith, where he was with God, how one gets into heaven. And he said he thought he would get to heaven by being a good person. That's pretty par for the course for religious people, at least. Think about that question. I asked him a question that brought him up short when I asked him, "Well, how good do you have to be?" He said, "I don't know for sure." And I said, "Do you mind if I share with you what the Bible says?" And he was good with that. I said, "The Bible says that God is a perfect God, totally separate from sin." So I drew it out there on my napkin like this, where God is a 10. He's the only 10. He's a 10 plus. And no one else. I mean, he's separate from sin. He's absolutely holy. He's a perfect 10. And I said, I kind of drew the 9, 8, 7, 6 right on down. I said, all the rest of us are 9 on down. So I asked him, let's just do a little quiz here. Where would you put Mother Teresa? And you know, people who know Mother Teresa, she's pretty good. And he gave her a 9. That's where a lot of people put her. She's pretty close to God. But you know, when Mother Teresa was around and you ever talked to her, she would have said, no, I'm way down at the bottom of the list, because she was aware of her sin. But he gave her a 9, and then in that day, Billy Graham was still around, even though he was quite old. Most people at that time knew of Billy Graham. Says, where would you put Billy Graham? And Billy got a 7. And then I did something really risky. I said, "No, you just met me. You know I'm a pastor, but you don't know anything about me. Where would you put me?" Always love asking that one. And man, he was good. He gave me a 7. I was like, yeah, take that, Billy. I'm right up there with you, man. I love that. And then I said, where would you put yourself? And I think he gave himself a 3. But with all of that, that led to my next question, how good is good enough? What's God's cutoff line? He said, that's a good question. I've never thought of that. I don't know. I said, well, if it's a 9, then it's only the Mother Teresa's of this world that will get in, and that's not good news for the rest of us. And I said, well, if it's a 7, Billy and I and everybody else above us is good, but you're not. And I said, in your case, you better hope that it's 3 or above. But I said, you see the problem, if God's standard is based on our goodness and 3s get in along with 9s, then that's not fair to 9s. It sort of makes all of their goodness worthless if they could have been a 3 and still gotten in. And so I went on to say, here's what the Bible says, Romans 3:23, that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter where we are on that list. We might even put some people at a negative. Doesn't matter. God's the only 10. And nobody else is getting in, regardless of where they fall on that list, because they're still less than what a perfect God demands. In fact, I said, the Bible says we're all deserving of being separated from him for all eternity because he's holy and we're not. We're all by our own standard of goodness. The Bible says we all deserve hell. I said, that's the bad news. But that's what makes the good news really good news. There was only one person who lived a sinless life, and that was Jesus Christ, God's Son. That's why he was chosen to be the sacrifice for our sin, because only an infinite, perfect, holy sacrifice could atone for our sin. So he was a perfect 10 when he died. He wasn't dying for his own sin. He was dying for all of us who were 9s on down. And at that point, I put the cross up there like this with a 10 on it representing Jesus dying for us. And I said, the beauty of what happened at the cross on Good Friday, as bad as it was for Jesus, is that Jesus died to forgive our less than perfect lives, but he also provided the righteousness, the perfect 10 we would need to stand before a holy God. Guys, understand, when we put our faith in Christ, not only does he forgive us, but his righteousness, his 10, gets transferred to our account. When he was on the cross, he was there saying, Cal, I'm taking your 3, your 4, your 5. Mary, I'm taking your 3. Jim, I'm taking your 6. You know, whatever it was. He took on himself whatever number, but it was all less than what we could do before a holy God. He took it on himself, our sin, and in that moment was saying, and by the way, I'm now going to take my 10 and place it on you. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says it so clearly. God made him, that is Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The Bible says in Philippians 3:9 that this righteousness comes from God and is by faith to anyone who believes. Doesn't matter what you've done. If you'll put your faith in the goodness of what Jesus Christ did for you at the cross on Good Friday, his righteousness will be transferred to your account, and your less than perfect number will be placed on him. This is really good news, because not only did Christ's death wash away what offended a holy God, but it gave me all that I need to be pleasing and acceptable in God's sight. And the really good part about it is, because Good Friday happened and Jesus paid the price for me once for all, I never have to worry that somehow what he accomplished wasn't good enough, or that something needs to be added to it, and that's the D. Done is the work. Gone is my sin. Over is my past. On me is his righteousness. Done is the work. The Bible tells us in John 19:30 that the last thing Jesus said just before he bowed his head and died, if you could have been there, you would have heard it, his voice, tetelestai, meaning it is finished. The plan he has put in place for our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, and reconciliation with the Father is finished once for all. And now our eternity is settled because everything that needs to be done has already been done. As someone has well said, religion is spelled D-O. It's all about what people have to do in order to try and gain their acceptance with God. Christianity is spelled D-O-N-E. It's done. Everything that needs to be done has already been done. It was done by Christ on Good Friday. And when I entered into his finished work by faith, from heaven's perspective, it's done in my life. My eternity is settled. Oh yes, while I am on earth, his work in me, that is making me more and more like Jesus Christ, will never be done. Still have lots of lumps of clay that he needs to smooth out. Lots of things he needs to do in me. But see, I seek to live for him, and I seek to serve him, not because I'm trying to add anything to his work, but because I'm grateful for the work he has done for me and is now doing in me. See, I want my life to be a testimony to his work in me and to demonstrate to others that I belong to him. But guys, that's what makes Good Friday so good. Say it with me. Gone is my sin. Over is my past. On me is his righteousness. Done is the work. Wouldn't you agree that's pretty good news? That's really good news. Now, many of you have already put your faith in Christ, and for you, today is just another occasion to say, Jesus Christ, thank you for the amazing work that you did for me on Good Friday. As your follower, help me to live my life as an expression of gratitude for all you've done for me. But it's possible that some of you here tonight have never understood this before. Or if you understood it, you've never received it by faith. Listen, the work is done. Christ doesn't have to do the work of the cross again. It's done once for all, the Bible says. And now by faith, we reach back and it becomes ours. Christ did it for you. But see, it doesn't just automatically impact your life. Like a gift, Jesus offers it to you, but you must receive it by faith in order for it to become operative in your life. My question is, have you done that? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ and said yes to this amazing provision for you? A few years ago, I was having breakfast with a friend, and on this particular morning, as we were getting ready to pray for the meal, the waiter was standing right there, and while I don't do this all the time, that morning I said, hey, we're about to pray for the meal right now, but if you want us to kill two birds with one stone, we'd be glad to pray for any needs you might have in your life. I'll never forget it. He said, oh man, I can't believe you asked me that, because I was just thinking about this last night. I've been so concerned about my sins and wondering whether there is any way I can be forgiven and go to heaven. He just shouted that out right there in the restaurant. You know? Well, I assured him that he could know his sins forgive. He could know that for sure. And we ate our food, and before I left the restaurant that day, I got him a little booklet that laid out the good news that I've shared with you tonight. I said, here's a little prayer you can pray at the end. If you understand this, you can receive Christ into your life. He will never lie. He tells you the truth. What he's done for you, you receive by faith, it'll be done in your life. And if you're like that guy tonight and you want to receive this tremendous gift of forgiveness and new life that Jesus Christ died to give you, you can do that right now. I want to ask you to bow your head and your heart with me. And I'm just asking you again, what are you trusting before a holy God tonight? Are you trusting in your own goodness, which can never be good enough? Or are you willing to say, have you said, no, I am trusting the finished work of Jesus Christ alone? And if you know that you've never reached out and done that by faith, and this makes sense to you tonight, and you want to receive that gift in your life, I want to pray with you right now. You pray this, and Jesus Christ will enter your life tonight and release this gift in you. So pray this in your heart. Jesus, thank you for taking on yourself all the bad things that happened to you on your bad Friday to provide all the good things that you made available to me on my good Friday. And so today on this Good Friday, I by faith receive you into my life. I repent of all my sins, and I ask you to forgive me and to release me from my guilt and shame. I right now receive by faith the gift of your righteousness, your 10, placed on my life. And I thank you that the work you did for me is finished, never to be undone. So come into my life, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, change me and enable me to follow you and to live a new life in Jesus' name. And again, with every head bowed, no one looking around, I want this just to be an act of faith before God for those of you who tonight know that for the first time in my life, I know I've received the goodness of Good Friday. I prayed that prayer. I meant it in my heart. And I know Jesus has come into my life. I've trusted him. This is my Good Friday. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3. And if you prayed that prayer tonight, I want you to throw your hand right up in the air as a way of saying, God, I'm trusting you work, your work, what you did for me on Good Friday. All right? If you prayed that prayer and you're trusting him, not going to embarrass you. No one looking around. This is just between you and God. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Hands up. Look at that. All around. Rest of Northwood's family, thank God for what he just did, because there were hands all over the place. Those of you who put that hand up, you've started a new life. Tonight on your way out, we're not going to detain you or anything, but we have yes packets available. You can just, as a way, go by there and register that you gave your life to Jesus by just taking a yes packet, and there will be some helpful information in there for you. Because again, we just help you grow in your faith now as God does his work in you. We're grateful.